Dearest friends, do you ever wonder, who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? Why do I keep repeating the same patterns, and how can I change them? Why am I free from being able to have the life that I've always dreamed of, and what is stopping me from having this? How do I meditate? What is an aura, and how do I see one? How can I come to a sense of well-being physically and spiritually, always? How can I remain in a state of absolute love, that soulful love, felt and expressed from within the heart of the soul, or we may say unconditional love, bliss, peace, and spiritual oneness and life continuously? Dr. Patty Diamond, Lady Diamond, in co-creation with Spirit, shows you the path through the new book called Stepping into Spiritual Oneness, Spiritual Remembrance of the Soul Through Life Experience, available at Diamond Lady Publishing, www.diamondladypublishing.net.
Thank you. Dalai Lama, Isis, Baal. What do all of these ancient gods have in common with each other? They're all going down. World of the Unexplained. Conservative paranormal talk. Big on God. Big on guns. Our God can beat up your God.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Oh, sorry about that.
Nice.
Is this nice. Whole thing new to you?
Yeah, I'm getting the hang of this now.
It's kind of like those old cartoon episodes, like when they all try to like stand at attention, like, you know, you're trying. It's like, you know, the intro of like any old cartoon on TV when you're a kid.
Oh, yeah.
They're all like shuffling to like get in line. It's kind of like how we come back on the air here. It's the exact same thing.
Don't forget all of the music in the breaks. Independent music, give it a chance.
Yeah, definitely check those guys out. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We haven't done that in a while.
No, we haven't.
But I throw that in there just for a nice spice.
I haven't done that in a long time.
That's becoming old school, you know.
Last time we did that was in the car, Bonnie. Weren't we doing...
Were we doing that in the car?
We were doing like... this is Ghostly Talk, and Doug is Doug, and Bonnie is Bonnie, because we were talking all in the first person.
You guys rehearsing,
practicing.
www.tracy.com, that's T-R-E-Y-C-E. We're talking with Tracy DeGabriel about handwriting analysis, that kind of thing, and I'm going to give it a little paranormal bent here, just a teeny-weeny bit, just for a couple minutes, because we still have, like, the rest of the iceberg to go.
Mm-hmm.
Automatic writing is when a medium or a general person would sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, and the modern, they used to go into like some kind of trance, you know, where they'd be drooling and like, and they'd be looking all drunk and stuff.
And then somebody would stick a pen in their hand and they'd just go nuts.
Right, and that's how it used to be. But now what you do is you take, you know, a pen and paper and you don't focus on that. You just let it go. You just let it flow, and you just go at it. But you concentrate on watching TV, reading a book. You're not looking at the paper or pen or your hand at all. You are elsewhere. Your conscious mind is diverted from what's going on as you're writing. And they say that this is supposed to, you know, come from the soul or be messages from beyond, you know, that kind of thing. And oftentimes it could be in languages that the writer doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, completely unlike their own handwriting, at least according to, you know, the materials that I've read.
Yeah.
So Tracy, what about that kind of thing, when you get supposed messages from beyond or messages from deep, deep, deep within your soul, doing an automatic handwriting exercise?
You know, I think that's awesome, because I actually use that for my handwriting therapy clients, something like an exercise like that, where they're actually dissociating from their own reality and they're just kind of letting their subconscious do the writing instead of their conscious. What I like about that is it's kind of like when you put somebody under hypnosis, they're free to, their mind, their subconscious is the one that's speaking. So I have not heard it called that, but when you described it, I knew what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When people do that, oftentimes, if they're not consciously trying to do that, oftentimes I found that their subconscious has so much stuff that's been, for whatever reason, suppressed or repressed, and that gives it a safe environment to let go on, which is paper. From the handwriting therapy perspective, we do that, and it does come out things that people don't know. And depending on the individual, not all of my people will do that, but some of them will. And from a therapeutic standpoint, it's very healthy if at that time they're ready to accept what they have buried. But I think a lot of times it helps people to not have to deal with traumas that have happened, and it's kind of a self-protection show. But at the same time, I think it's very cool because it's a lot of times will reveal secrets that they have forgotten or that have been blocked.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
So, but all that is like as if it's coming from within you. I mean, there is the alternative explanation where it's coming from a spirit
somebody
taking
else.
Over the
something
person's
else.
Arm, you know. That's when it gets a little in the I don't know area. Although, you know, there is a whole branch of study of spirit communication, and that's part of it.
Yeah.
And so maybe, who knows.
I think it would be awesome. That's not the way my messages have ever come. I wish it would, because God knows I've held pen and paper a lot, and I'm ready any time, but it doesn't come that way for me.
Well, Google automatic writing and see,
yeah.
Maybe there's something, you know, maybe some hints and tips. And I think if you could get it going, anybody can, because you would know, like, where is this coming from? You would know immediately just by looking, you know, whereas I would look at it and mm-hmm. go, I think I just played tic-tac-toe against myself and lost, you know, and so, I, you know, that's what would happen for me.
Well, I want to ask one more question concerning
yes.
concerning handwriting analysis, and we can keep this brief because I do want to move on to something
Here's
else.
Here's the thing. All these questions came up from the first half hour.
Yeah, they did, right? Well, we were talking on break for a second, Tracy, and it was something that was in the back of my mind while we were talking the last segment, but I do want to ask you, what effect with computers? There are so many – everybody uses a computer, and I know I am a victim of this too, like we were saying when we were taking a break. I use a computer for everything. I mean, literally, if I want to make like a checklist for grocery shopping, I fire up Google Docs. I fire up Google Docs and I type it out and I print it and
yeah.
I take it with me. I don't even I write nothing down anymore, and I think my handwriting has suffered greatly because of that. Because when I actually have to write something out, first of all, I sigh. I go, oh, God. I get winded grabbing the remote nowadays. I mean, like, it's like having to write something down. I mean, that's just going to kill me. I mean, I'm wondering what effect, like, just the digital age has had on your craft. And do you think it has an effect on people's writing where it might skew it somehow?
Actually, I have been more busier since the electronic age than I've ever been.
Really?
And I don't really know why, other than I know for myself, I don't do much writing either, but when I do, you know, when I am in the car and somebody calls and I need to write down a number, I'm not going to pull over the side of the road and get my laptop out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will actually write it down it might be a newspaper on the margin somewhere, but I'll write
that.
It down somewhere.
Yeah.
Or else if I see something on a billboard and I'm like, oh, that's cool, or I hear something on the radio, I'll write it down and I won't, like, stop, pull out the laptop and get it out and type it.
Yeah.
So I haven't noticed a difference at all as far as less work, but I have noticed an increase over about the last maybe 7-8 years and busier than I've ever been.
Okay.
But part of that, though, might be because it's been more accepted, too. So it might be, maybe it's not just the electronic age, but it might be a little bit of the acceptance of society as well.
Okay. Yeah. That,
on the other hand, something that'll make the answer, your other question, the answer that'll make you feel better is I do think it has an effect on somebody's handwriting, but I think it's a good effect. The reason being is because people nowadays, school teachers, for example, are not as, you know, hard-nosed about having this perfect, beautiful, almost calligraphy-type writing on their students anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a wonderful thing. From a handwriting perspective, the more messy your handwriting is, as long as you can read it, the more psychologically stable you are. So I think that's a good thing.
Well, I guess I'm, like, locked in then. My stuff is together because I am a filthy mess when it comes to my handwriting now. More on that later. I actually want to discuss this with you, Tracy. I'm curious, maybe a follow-up to what we're talking about tonight. Maybe I will send you a sample of my ridiculous handwriting and have you tell me how crazy I really am.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We'll try that.
Bonnie, did you get to ask your question?
No, because Scott took over, but that's okay. I was just curious.
I'll pull myself up.
Thank you. It's about time.
Right.
No, I was just curious. I know there are many different characteristics to handwriting, but as far as overall appearance, is it normal for siblings to have similar handwriting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very.
Mine and my sister's is almost identical.
Yeah, it's very common.
They have the same bubbly little A's and B's.
Oh, do you do
have you ever
like,
seen my handwriting?
You don't use the circles on the top of the eye and then make your little smiley
face.
No,
she makes little hearts.
She makes little hearts.
Yeah. It would be more like a skull and crossbones over my eyes. But
funny, yeah.
All right, okay. I know there's something I want to move on to also. This is like, there's a lot to cover here. And Tracy, I hope you don't get mad at us because we knew coming into this we weren't going to be able to cover everything tonight.
Exactly.
But you do have a story you want to tell. I mean, I'm going to make you tell it.
Which translates you want to tell it.
Yeah, you want to tell it, right? But this is concerning your mother. Okay, and this was very recent, too. As a matter of fact, we were going to have you on the show a while back, I think, and we kind of had to, you kind of said, hey, hold off for a little while. I have some personal issues to take care of, right?
Right.
And
right.
There is this story of your mother. This happened just back in April. Concerning your mother, and I, at risk of like making a fool of myself, I'm gonna kind of like hand the reins over to you now concerning this story, because this had an effect on your professional career. Am I correct?
Well, you know, it really did, but it didn't. I mean, it did in the fact where, you know, I had clients writing to me, calling me, and at the last minute notice. See, normally when I'm going out of town, I'll email everybody and say, hey, I'm gone. If you don't hear from me, here, you know, I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be back a certain time. Well, this time, I didn't have any notice. I got a phone call. Your mom's in the hospital. She's not going to make it. I fly out of state,
mm-hmm.
you know, last minute. I'm a single mom, so I had to make arrangements for my son. He didn't want to go. I mean, it's just all kinds of chaotic stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I forgot to tell my clients. And so they're all calling me, emailing me. And I was in the middle of Boondock, USA, my laptop, my cell phone. Nothing had service over there.
Oh, no.
And so everybody was like, what happened? Did she vanish? What, you know, then they were worried about me, so I came home and had 800 emails, you know, where are you? And it was about 2.5 weeks later. So, I mean, it was one of those things where, yeah, I mean, it did have an effect because I had lost business because I wasn't able to do that, and there was deadlines and stuff that I was supposed to get to. So it kind of hurt a little bit, but it's okay. I jump over hurdles all the time, so.
Mm-hmm.
Just another one. Just had to jump a little bit higher this time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think part of it is, I think a lot of my business clients really don't know this about me, but, you know, I was born with premonitions, and they started when I was the youngest I remember. I was 5, and my best friend and I were walking home from school, and he was a boy. I was a girl, of course, so, you know, I'm sissy, and he's all, you know, gangster and running across in front of the train, and he says, you know, come on, let's run the train. And, you know, in small towns, you can always kind of, you know, like clockwork what time that train's coming through.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we had 6 blocks to walk from school to our houses, and we were next-door neighbors, and so we're walking down the sidewalk, and he says, come on, let's go. And normally I'll just let him run because I know he's going to wait for me on the other side and be yelling, chicken, 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 at me.
Mm-hmm.
So this one particular day toward the end of the school year, I'm grabbing him, and I'm saying, no, Dennis, don't go, don't go. And I'm dragging him, and actually he's much bigger than I am, so he's dragging me. Mm-hmm. Finally, when he thought he was going to miss the train, he kind of untied my fingers from around his arm, and he pushed me, and I fell down. When I got up, the train had already gone by, and I'm figuring, okay, you know, he's going to be really giving me heck now, you know, in my little 5-year-old terms.
Mm-hmm.
So I go across the street, and I'm waiting for him, and I'm looking around. There's no Dennis, and there's an empty building standing there, and I wasn't going to go there because I was kind of creeped out. I'm like, I'm not going to go over there. He's probably hiding.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited, and then finally my dad comes home about 2 hours later. Unbeknownst to me, it was 2 hours later. And he said, what are you doing standing here? I said, waiting for Dennis. He said, oh, Dennis is home. Well, fast forward about 3 hours, and Dennis had been hit by the train.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so there was, you know, he was actually, the reason I didn't see him there is the train had drug him down to the next, we have little tracks and big tracks in that town, and the train had drug him down to the big tracks. And so it's about maybe a block away. I didn't see it. That's why I was just kind of standing there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I had an astral attack when I was 16. There was no medical explanation for what had happened to me and no psychological explanation. And so it was very scary for me. And then after the astral attack, I lost my premonitions. They went away. I think it was just too much for my subconscious to handle because all of my premonitions up to, you know, I knew when my grandpa was going to die and you know, big old plane crashes. And even in fourth grade at story hour, I would write down the words right before my teacher would say it, and I never even heard the story before.
Oh, wow.
So different things like that. But my astral attack, really, I think it was the most scariest thing I've ever gone through. And it stopped. My premonition stopped right after that, and my ability in handwriting triplicated. I mean, it was just unbelievable. So now when I get a case, part of what I do is I'll just close my eyes and hold it close to me, and I can almost see the crime play out like a movie.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
And psychics do that. A lot of psychics do that when they just touch objects and things like that.
Psychometry.
Yeah, psychometry. We've heard stories of people, you know, touching a rock.
Or mm-hmm. Well, usually it's a ring or something personal.
Yeah, whatever, maybe. Yeah.
Something personal, yeah. And I think it really, it's one of those things where my subconscious needed an outlet, and I think it's safer now, you know, doing the handwriting things. And not to say that I don't have out-of-body. I definitely have out-of-body experiences still, but they're not anything that I've so far been able to consciously pull out of them. Mm-hmm. So that's nice. You know, but there some of them are tricky, but I've pulled out of them. So I don't have them all that often, but every now and then I will.
Well, you said astral attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard of, like, when you're doing astral projection, we've talked to people about this numerous times in the show, and they're like, you know, you got to be careful when you're doing this thing because, you know, you might bump into somebody who's unsavory and they will not let you come back. Now, as far as astral attacks concerned,
well, what I've heard is not that they won't let you come back, but they are jealous that you have
a physical body. You're alive. You have a body to go back
to.
They
do not. Yeah.
So they'll
mine wasn't on purpose. I do not know what caused mine, because it was my first experience with that. But I know that a group of people that were, I really didn't have a lot of friends. I was pretty much a loner in school, really into studying and not partying. And then all the kids in my class were into partying in that setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't fit in very well. But there was about eight kids in my class that wanted to go to this old Indian cemetery. And they wanted to dig up an old, you know, burial site. And I was like, no, that's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that's wrong. And then they were like, well, no wonder you don't have any friends, blah, blah. So I was really kind of torn with, you know, maybe I should do it so I can have friends. Because, you know, you're 16, you want to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're willing to almost do anything. But I was like, you know, I was really big into church and stuff. So I went to talk to the minister, and I asked him, I said, you know, this is what's going on. What do I do? And he gave me this poem, this prayer. I wish I could remember it. It was all in Latin. I don't remember any of it. Don't
mm-hmm.
even have it anymore. He wrote it down in Latin, and I said it before I went to sleep. He said, if you say this before you go to sleep, you'll get your answer. Boy, did I. I definitely got my answer. But what I did was I dreamt that I was going up the stairway, and it was really dark and very narrow, and I got up to the ground. And when I got up to the ground, all these eight kids were standing there in like a almost like a funnel shape.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a casket on top of the ground, and they had already like uplifted it. And so they said, here, you go open it. And I said, no. And I was fighting, and then I had them all push me up to the casket. When I opened, you know, I had no choice. They were forcing me. So when I opened it up, I had flames come out. And in not knowing what's going on outside in real life, in my dream, the flames are burning me, and I'm literally on fire. My eyes are on fire.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's laughing. Like, these eight kids are, like, just torturously laughing at me. And then I somehow pulled out of it in my dream, but then I woke up and I'm packed in ice. My parents, my mother was standing there with oven mitts on, and we had our doctor there, and I was in the bathtub packed in ice. And I'm like, what's going on? And I look, and my minister's there, the doctor's there, my mom and my dad are there. And the doctor says, there's no reason why you should be here. And I said, why? He said, your body temperature was almost 400 degrees.
Oh, my God.
What?
So, yeah. Well, and that's what he was saying. And I'm like, what? And I'm still pulling out of it in the fog, don't know anything. But all I know is, like, right now at this moment, I'm freezing. And I look at my mother and I said, what do you have oven mitts on for? Because she didn't even like to bake. So, you know, like, what are you doing? And she's like, especially at 2 in the morning, what are you doing? She said, I couldn't touch your skin. It was burning my hands. So she was trying to shake me and, like, wake me up, because apparently I was screaming or something in my dream, but I don't remember. So it was just one of those things, and I just asked, like, random people, and they're like, hey, you had an astral attack. I'm like, lovely, that was great. Got my answer.
400 degrees?
Like, what you bake a turkey at, you know?
I
mean,
yeah.
that's...
Yeah.
That's
I don't know what it. I don't know what it was. If he was being sarcastic or what? Because, like I said, I was in a fog. I was 16. I was like, "What are y'all doing?" I was thinking they were all crazy, you know. And I'm looking. What am I doing? Packed. And I have my jammies on, and I'm soaked and frozen. And you know, it was one of those things. And they never had any after that.
Just to give an illustration of that, I was at my cousin's graduation yesterday. I was putting stuff in the oven, and I had it at 350, and I burnt my finger on that. I mean, it burnt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's hot.
Right. I mean,
he could have been...
I admit. But like you said, he could have been exaggerating it, you know, just to, you know, lighten the mood or whatever. But at the same time, anything over, what is it, 106 or something? Mm-hmm. And you just die. I mean, you
liquefy.
So,
and so he kept saying, there's no reason for this. There's no explanation for this. He was totally freaked out about it.
And if the doctor had you packed in ice to bring your fever down, it was critical.
So, yeah, all I know is I was in a bathtub full of ice. layered with ice. I mean, all over me. I was frozen to death.
Wow.
I have to say, that has got to be one of the biggest, as far as a guest is concerned on our show, I'm like, kind of like, whoa, okay. Because obviously the stuff you do, I mean, it's very detail-oriented. I mean, it's very finite. You're
scientific.
And to come out and talk about these particular things, I find it fascinating, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many other folks have... You know, that's the thing.
An astral attack.
Well, not an astral attack in particular, but I mean, like, you know, when you go to when we go to parties, obviously, because, you know, we do the show, so they say, what do you do?
And we are party animals.
And we're party animals,
wow,
yeah.
We're crazy.
You know, people just, everybody seems to have some kind of story, a haunted story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, some kind of story, what they saw.
Three sit-downs at the graduation party.
Right.
Three
sit-downs. And I wonder how many other stories are buried under, like, you know, other folks, you know.
Who have these experiences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating, Tracy. That's awesome, and it helped you obviously by focusing your talents or whatever on your handwriting, which is what you ultimately ended up doing.
Mhm. Yeah,
great.
And I think it's a safe way for my subconscious to let go and not have to deal with all the other stuff that's out there, you know.
It really seems to have worked, and that was when you were 16.
I was 16. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. You know what? We're at the top of the hour.
Can we have her back on?
You have to come back, Tracy, because I think an hour just does not do you justice.
I didn't mention anything about my mom's signs because you have it on your site, and I figure people can read it. It's pretty obvious.
Again,
pictures and everything. So
yeah, you know what? That's also up there. Well, if people have been to the site, like I explained before, there's two documents you can download there, and there's other documents there for you to download and look over also. So it's about Tracy. It's through this.
I want folks to go get your books. Your books are Answers and Written Violence, The Personality Behind the Pen.
They're both on Amazon, so.
Yeah, and they're on Amazon, so you can go there. And I'm sure you've got links on Tracy.com, TRECE.com. And get those. And I want people to be creative, right? I want people to learn about you and then be creative and say, how can something like this, a science, you know, 90% science and then 10% writing up the report,
mm-hmm.
how can a science like this be applied to ghost hunting or analysis of historical documents? Because a lot of ghost hunters are now...
Or maybe they check up on your friends and family, too.
Or to check up on your friends and family.
If they're not tweaking out on you or anything.
You know what, I always say Christmas time is a great time of year, so I have a lot of students come to me right before Christmas, so when all the Christmas cards flood in, they automatically know who's suicidal, who's been suicidal. You know, it goes on and on and on, you know. So
that is too fun.
Well,
you
Tracy,
gotta let me know where to send those cards to.
Yeah, email bonnie@ghostlytalk.com.
Tracy, thank you so much for coming on. We really,
hey,
really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I had a great time.
Good. We're glad you did. Stay
on
the line. Don't leave us just yet, okay? We're going to take a little break. Guys, this goes up next half an hour. See, we kind of had some schedule changes. You know, we were only going to have Tracy on for a half an hour. I'm glad we had an hour.
We needed it. And we didn't even touch 90% of the stuff
we didn't.
To talk
about. Tracy's definitely coming back very soon.
That's why I want folks to go get those books.
Yeah.
Come up with questions, send them in to us, and hopefully we'll be able to entice Tracy.
Well, we were going to have the Booth Brothers on.
Right.
We all decided that we were going to move that forward to sometime later in the year,
closer to when
it gave
the
us
movie
an extra
series.
Yeah, it gave us an extra half an hour here to play with.
So we're going
to have to take a break, and we have some stuff to talk about our trip to Moundsville.
Yes.
From last weekend, some interesting things we have.
Ghost hunting coming up on Ghostly Talk. So, sorry. No.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
Shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic, I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? KarmaCast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Start the segment off with an apology to Doug.
Oh, please, it doesn't matter.
I totally squashed you before the break.
I'm sorry.
How about bring this segment in with an apology to the world?
For being born.
I'm sorry about that.
I felt bad, man. I totally just like.
Oh, that's fine.
We were up against the clock.
I was cueing the track,
and then like finger, like you know, instinctively.
I was watching your finger, and I'm like, when's he gonna click? And I'm like, I'm trying to.
Well, it instinctively just went and double clicked.
Right.
And wham,
I was trying to pace it out, and then you know, it sort of all happened at the same time. But.
We have. You know, he's got this look on his like I'm laying a guilt trip look on your face.
No,
like,
it's not a guilt trip.
Well. He
he's
really
the king
does.
Of laying a guilt trip. Especially when he has a cigarette.
Especially
in his hand.
When he goes,
does this thing work? Or is this just here for decoration?
We have two members of the Ghostly Talk extended family on the show right now. You guys okay?
Yes.
we have
Giant Joe.
We you guys need a second?
I actually.
Right, Bonnie's coming out.
Bonnie
is out. We have two members of the Ghostly Talk extended family on the phone. We have Ghostly Talk West, Mr. Tom Mott. How you doing tonight, Tom?
Doing good, Scott. How are you?
Oh, real good. And that is loud.
Wow, you got loud lines.
We have Jonathan Wiley from Grimstone. He's Ghostly Talk South. You're on. How you doing, Jonathan?
At least for this time.
How about you, Scott?
Real good. What we did, we decided to do is kind of get together here tonight because we were obviously all in Moundsville last weekend. You okay, Bonnie?
I'm good now. You can put
okay,
me
you're
back.
Ba- you're back in now.
Excellent.
We were at Moundsville last weekend, and Tom called Amber, and then Amber called me and said, "We think we may have picked something up on Tom's recorder." And I said, "Whoa, okay, let's check this thing out." The reason we called, we have Tom and Jonathan, is they were actually right there. They were right there. So was Amber, too. She's out there working on some website or something. I don't know what she's doing in there. She's doing something. But what was that, Tom?
Was there some website?
Oh,
some
well,
website.
I don't, no,
yeah.
Well, no. I don't. What I said. Oh, no, now I did it.
What's the
I'm
website?
So sorry. Michigan's Other Side.
.com.
Yeah,
michiganstheotherside.com. She spends a lot of time. She really, really cares about that. She's putting together a fantastic.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I was like, it's called comedy, I guess, and I'm not very good at it, obviously. So.
I'm the grammar Nazi.
Grammar Nazi.
Yeah, you are. Oh, you heard that earlier, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, check this out. I have this audio, the original cut that you sent over, Tom. Tom and I discussed it. I'm like, okay, I want you to give me two minutes, like a minute on each side of it.
Right.
I'm like, I want something big to work with here. And Tom did that. And what I want to do is I just want to play this thing. It's 2 minutes long. Tom took a two-minute cut out of his 400 hours of recording. And what I want to do is just play it. I'm going to kill the mics, and we're going to play it. And I'm not saying a word to anybody.
Okay.
This is an experiment. Okay? We're not going to front-load no one. We're just going to play this thing. So 2 minutes of silence on the mics. I should turn the audio track up, though. That might help.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to play this clip.
Yeah.
We're going to listen, and somewhere right in the middle, is an EVP? Are we going to...
What'd you say that for?
Or is
because
something...
Because you said you wanted a minute on either side, so the and average person should be able to pick that up.
All right, check this out.
So what is it obvious?
I don't know.
All right.
We'll play it.
So just listen to these 2 minutes, folks, and see what you hear.
All right, everybody hang tight. Here we go.
Well, that's probably a bad picture.
Wait, that's the one more.
Want me to be normal? What's that?
We're in the penitentiary
somewhere. I don't know exactly the area, what it's called.
We're near death row.
We're near death row.
Yes, what the hell? Amber and Johnson ran off my flashlight, and I was going to try to find you guys.
You'll never be able to. We'll come out.
Okay, we'll come out and get you. Careful. Last I talked to him, he said he was going to be talking for a while. Yeah, that's where we came in.
Can you get to the phone before
we go out? Hey, we can right here. Look. Oh, we can't. No.
That's something I do want to mention, actually, is that I think Jonathan Wiley from Grimstone, next to Steve LaChance from Missouri Paranormal, does have the deepest voice in the paranormal community. I think that's we should know it. So Jonathan has a super deep voice, right? So that was the whole cut. That was the whole thing that Tom sent over to me. And that was obviously, you didn't do anything to that. You just sent it over the way it was recorded, right, Tom?
That's raw. Right, the way it came off.
Now, here's the thing. I remember being there. I was there. Was there.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, what we were doing and who we were with, that kind of thing. But I think we pretty much announced what we were doing and who we were with.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Scott was...
I was away
because we talked to him on the radio.
That's what those loud things that you just, like, had a heart attack over.
But the rest of the group was there. So there was Tom and Amber and Jonathan and myself. There was nobody with us at that point?
No.
Right.
It was just us four in death row there.
And this was the first time we had gone to the death row area, right?
Right.
That night. Okay, so this was our first pass through. Was this the first night or the second night?
It was the second night.
Second night.
So this is our first pass through on the second night. Okay. So you guys knew the area. You knew what to expect. Now, I did indeed hear something
A
little bit before the middle in there.
Yeah.
But I would have liked it cut out.
I did. So relax.
Excellent. Because I'm telling
this guy, he breaks balls. I know. Something happened to you guys. I don't know if it transfers very well on the audio recording, but something happened to you guys right around the same time this EVP occurred. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Me and Tom heard it at the same time, and I kind of swung around real quick. And me and Tom just looked at each other.
Well, what happened?
To me, it sounded like somebody scuffling right behind us.
Okay.
And I thought somebody was back there. I mean, I had that feeling like somebody was behind us. I swung around to see who it was. There was nothing there. And that's when I looked, and Tom was facing the same direction. We're like, did you just hear that?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it was... It was pretty cool.
and I saw this occur because I was standing in the one of the two doorways that go to the sectioned off area of Four South.
Yeah.
I was a little bit away from you guys. You guys were walking toward me, and I saw you guys turn around, and we talked about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think you and Amber were a little, like a couple cells ahead of us.
We were ahead of you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were lacking behind, and all of a sudden we heard this, and we both flung around real quick.
What about you, Tom?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, because I stopped, and I looked at Jonathan. He was already looking back, and I forget the exact wording, but I just said, did you hear that? He goes, yeah, it was right behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I could have swore I heard footsteps.
Okay, so what I did, actually, is I took, you know, my usual geeky fashion.
You are the master of audio.
I took this audio, and I clipped it up a couple of different ways. I didn't do anything to it, though. All I did was clip it. To separate it from the whole track.
So we're not going to get that digitized.
No, I don't work that way because okay. When we find something, it's pretty convincing.
Excellent.
So what I want to do now is we're going to pull the mics down. This is just a short clip. This is just a few seconds actually. This one's a little bit longer, but this was the area in the audio that we think we may have heard something, or Tom initially thought he heard something. So I'm going to pull the mics again, and we're going to check this out.
Did you hear me when she was talking about the big orbs? And I'm like, okay, hang on.
I should bring the mics back in. But yeah, okay.
I think that's a good idea. Here's the thing.
Well, we're going to play this a couple times because I have some isolations too. But
In my head, I want to get this out on the air. Okay?
Yeah, we can do it now.
In my head, I saw these two. Okay, there was nobody around you two. You two were behind me and Amber. Me and Amber were up ahead. Okay.
Right.
Tom was closer to us than Jonathan was. I think Jonathan was catching up the rear, right?
Yeah, I was in the very back.
Right.
You were in the very back, is it, Jonathan?
Yeah. Tom was probably not even a foot away. I mean, we were almost parallel, but I was probably maybe just a couple steps behind him at the very most.
And that's what I believe I saw, okay, when we were physically there.
Yeah.
There was nobody around you two. Obviously, you can hear echoes of me talking and Amber talking earlier and later. But during this, you guys were discussing what had happened.
And this was just you two.
So it was you two who are the only two living people on the mic at during this. Can you play that again? Because I want to see what it's. I want to see if I can figure out what it says.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. I'm gonna leave the mics on this time too.
Okay.
Did you hear me when she was talking about the big orbs? I'm like, okay, hang on.
What I found interesting also, Tom, is that there's, I mean, we're talking about the initial phrase. I know that's what we've discussed this week, Tom. But there is some other garble that I want to rip apart, actually, this week when I have time. But what did you hear?
What did I hear? I wonder what that is.
What was that? what did you hear, Doug?
The initial phrase, I don't know.
What about you, Tom?
That's what I don't know. It's in the background and it's garbled, but you can't make it out. And I haven't analyzed it.
In the back, there's some in the background, but when you guys like quiet down, there's a phrase said after that, and I'm gonna front load.
It's the phrase that said while Tom is talking that I think is interesting.
Well, yeah, let's just play it one more time.
Did you hear me when she was talking about the orbs? I'm like, okay.
Now I'm hearing, and I'll say it.
I'll say it.
Go ahead, Tom.
What I heard was maybe you can.
That's exactly what I heard.
Yeah, it's clear too. It's a whisper. But
yeah,
it's clear. It's clear, and right. You guys are sure there was no one else there except for you and Jonathan, right, Tom?
Positive. That's positive.
Okay. All right.
Because there was no there's no doubt that says maybe you can. That's what I heard.
That there's stuff under that though too. Much like that EVP we got from Boone Hutch about 3 years ago.
Right. Where it says several times.
Yeah, several times. I did take this and I isolated it even more.
Oh, cool.
I did some pure isolations of this particular area of with that phrase. And we're going to play these really fast. Okay, here we go. That's I'll play it again. And I isolated it even further than that. Yeah.
Okay, this isn't a rap song.
Okay. But no, there is a phrase, and it sounds like maybe you can.
But there's stuff leading up to maybe you can would love to know what
this
says.
And we'll do more with this, too. What I'll do, as long as Tom's cool with that, I'm going to take these. I'm going to take his audio he sent over to us, and I'm going to take the isolations that I created off of this and throw it up for download. Is that cool, Tom? I don't mean to put you on the spot, man. That's cool. All right.
Well, I had my video camera, you know. I don't know if I was taping at that point, though.
Uh-huh.
So I'll go through my
definitely.
Video
well,
and
it's
see.
It's interesting. It's an interesting, you know, given the circumstances and what was going on, and this little thing popped out. It's very interesting, and these are the things we like to present. I mean, it's really cool to come back with something to talk about.
Yeah,
which is a couple of the last trips we've done has been like, okay, we just sat around and. Nothing really came of it, but Tom, good work, man. Real good work.
Hey, it wasn't me. It was the recorder.
Well, you had to sit down and go through this stuff. You know, I mean, this wasn't just, you just didn't find this. You had to go through all your recordings to find this. So that's where the work comes from.
Part of what we do, you know. I mean, you spend weeks and hours going over audio, and you don't get anything. So when you get something, it's kind of, you get really excited.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a phone to him. I mean,
Tom, your phone is like, it's just destroyed. I think you're
breaking up.
Did you drop it in the toilet today or something? Because it's like in and out, man.
Do you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear you now? Well, that's fine because you know what? We do have to go to break a little bit early here. Stay on the line, though, guys, okay? Stay on the line. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Tom. Jonathan, Ghostly Talk South. And Tom, Ghostly Talk West, for joining us and talking to us for a few minutes about. There's like all kinds of strange sounds.
I know, it's like nighttime.
Yeah, there's like crickets.
The GT studio.
I don't know what's going on here. Hang on the line, guys.
Yeah.
I'm pulling the phone line. That's it.
Pull it out.
I can't take it.
It'll distract us in the headphones, but it's not going to distract anyone else. But yeah.
Coming up. Well, go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, you can go ahead. I was just going to say coming up was
Troy Taylor.
Our interview with Troy Taylor.
Yeah, we taped this on Tuesday, and because Troy's a busy, busy little boy. Especially with the coming conference next weekend, which is we're looking totally forward to that. The 11th annual American Ghost Society conference. I always mess the name up on this thing. The American Ghost Society. Yeah, I got it right.
Yeah.
2007 Haunted America conference is coming up next weekend. We're going to be there on Friday, ready to rock. It's going to be wild. But we had a conversation with Troy this past Tuesday about the conference and his new book and all kinds of things that he's got going on. It was a lot of fun. And we're just going to basically play this, and we're going to relax the rest of the night.
That's the plan.
So, guys, enjoy. This is we're out of here.
Yeah.
I'm
out of here.
We're still going to be here, but we're not going to be.
Bye, honey. Love you.
Tom said bye. Nobody heard it. So we're going to go to break, though. Enjoy our conversation with Troy. Guys, have a great week. All that fun stuff.
Yes,
you know?
Everybody.
Happy Father's Day again.
Yes, happy Father's Day. And thank you for listening to Ghostly Talk.